It's Monday, September 18th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 979, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a managed WordPress site for just a dollar a month for 12 months and a free domain name. Or pick up a domain name for just $1.49. All of my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you. I mean, the news we have tonight is just jam-packed of, like, super fantastic stuff. You're going to enjoy this a lot. Plus, I'm going to share some stuff that I shared on the website earlier in the week. You've probably heard about it already, but you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, your host, as always. I want to give a warm welcome to all of you that are part of our Ohana. And if you're brand new to the show, of course, I am here in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. And on the island of Oahu, and Ohana means family. So I want to welcome you to our family of listeners and viewers of this show. And hey, it's really incredible that you found the show. And those of you that have been here for a while, we want to thank you for continuing to be subscribed to the podcast. And got a lot to share tonight, a lot of good stuff. But for those of you that are brand new, we definitely want you to take time and get over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. And you're going to find real easy there to subscribe to the show. It's right on the main part of the website, right at the very top. In a prominent position, you see the iTunes link. You see the podcast RSS feed as well with the headsets. But the beautiful thing right now, if you have an iOS device and you have upgraded to iOS 8, you now have the podcasting app loaded by default on your mobile device. So all you got to do is come over to geeknewscentral.com and just click on the iTunes button and bam, you're done. It's going to load automatically in the mobile device. It's going to say, do you want to subscribe? Of course, we want you to click yes. And then you'll be able to take me wherever you go. And it's kind of just to imagine me in your pocket, which is kind of scary if you really think about it. For those of you that are Android users, hey, just go out to the Android App Store, download Beyond Pod. And once you get that loaded into your device, you can search for the show. We want you to subscribe to the audio portion of the show on Beyond Pod, or just come back to the website and click on the headset RSS feed, and that'll give you a little pop-up that says Beyond Pod will be one of those choices. Just choose that, and it'll step you through on how to get subscribed to the show. So that's really how you get connected. We want you to sign up for the newsletter as well. There's a specific page on the website for the newsletter. And basically, except for last week or last Monday, like a knucklehead, I didn't send the newsletter out. I kind of got distracted. But every show, I send out the newsletter of almost every show. I send out the newsletter with all the links of everything that I cover. And it's a one-way emailing, so you're not going to be on any list where you're going to get blasted by, you know, people on the list. So definitely sign up for the newsletter as well while you're there. You know, and really reaching out to the show could not be easier. Of course, on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can email the show directly as well. Geeknews@gmail.com is really the fastest way to stay in touch. And if you follow me on Facebook or if you are on Google Plus, whatever it may be, you can find my listings there. Links are all up on the website, of course, right there next to the iTunes subscribe bar and everything, where all the social stuff where you can get hooked up. And a lot of people have been sending me links via Facebook and stuff. That's cool. And Google Plus crowd as well. So we want to thank all of you for connecting with the show that way. All right, so let's, you know, if you have a set-top box like a Roku or a Samsung Smart TV or a Google TV, look for the Tech Podcast channel and load that as one of your channels, and you'll find my show and many, many others as well, because this show is part of the Tech Podcast Network. Well, I tell you, it's going to be a great show tonight. Before we get into that, we're going to talk about our great sponsor, GoDaddy.com. And they came through with some new deals and talked a little bit about this on the last show. But I think it's really important to reiterate what they have put on the table. So what they've made available is 30% off all new orders. So when you go over to GoDaddy and you pick up a new order, now, my understanding is this is supposed to work on all new orders. You don't have to be a new customer. You can use this code on all new orders. If you find any difference in it, let me know. But also the GNC149 code, get a .com for just $1.49. Make sure that you look at the conditions when you click on the link on the website, or if you just go over to the over to GoDaddy and enter the promo code at checkout, make sure you look at the conditions. It's going to tell you what's going to happen after the promo is done. But two great codes, GNC30 for 30% off, Geek149 for $1.49.coms. We have the continued offer of the $1 a month for 12 months WordPress hosting with a free domain by using the promo code PRESS4, and that's a managed WordPress hosting account. And then we have $1 a month economy hosting, straight up economy hosting with all the bells and whistles that go along with that, again for $1 a month with a free domain as well. Check out all the features, links are up on the website, and plus all my other codes are still working. You can see the ones that are struck through that are not and some that are. So we definitely want you to use that. And of course, we've updated the banners on the website as well. GoDaddy has been here 9+ years, taking care of my show, taking care of me, this audience, my family, making sure we get fed, keeping the lights on here. It's highly, highly important that if you're going to be picking up a domain-related service or hosting account, that you use one of my codes. And if you know of a friend or someone that's getting ready to launch a website, share my codes far and wide. Tell people about it, how to save money. Every use of those codes really helps us out here at Geek News Central. And I definitely want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here and really their continued support to keep this show rocking and rolling and moving forward. So again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy is the link. I'll leave that link up on the website for those of you watching here for a few minutes so that you can check that out and get that link written down. But, you know, this has been a pretty monumental, is that even the right word, monumentous? It's been an incredible week, and there's been a deal in work now for a while. I've been pursued for a couple of years to sell the Podcast Awards website. And it wasn't an aggressive. It was basically, hey, I'm interested. Want to sell? We're interested. And it was casual. It wasn't nothing. It was aggressive. And I had kind of come to a conclusion at the end of last year's Podcast Awards, trying to figure out where I was going to go with the site. The site needed a revamp. It was really, it's got a 9-year-old design. Managing it in the back end has never been super easy. Even though the code is really good, that code is really long in the tooth, for a better word. And it really needed a fresh look. And when Rick Calvert from New Media Expo reached out to me and basically made me an offer, we went back and forth a little bit on the negotiation, not too much, and I agreed to sell Podcast Awards, and I signed the sale document on Monday, agreeing to the transfer of the property, transfer of the copyright material, the trophy design, and, I kind of laughed because I bought sample trophies last year to, basically to have available to show people, because I never had trophies here to show off and show people what they look like. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, I got 2 sample trophies that cost me about $350. What am I going to do with these things? I don't know. I've asked Rick. I'm going to probably order 1 trophy for myself that says founder or something stupid like that. I don't know. But long story short, it's probably one of the better decisions I've made in a long time. And the reason it is because I've been focused, really kind of laser focused on continuing to build the Geek News Central brand, the hosts that are basically doing shows with us. I've got another project in works that is part of the Geek News Central family, another a lady podcaster that's going to be coming on. So I'm really kind of excited about the future for GNC and really what the Podcast Awards done. And you guys know you've been here for 9 years and you've heard me talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and try to get solicit you guys to come in and help grade the nomination sheets and everything. And many of you have. And I really do want to say to each and every one of you, Bree and Dale and all the folks that have come in, you know, for many times and supported and basically did grading of categories. And all the countless folks that, and I've got a long, long list of people to thank. And, you know, just if you're part of the audience still and you did any of that, thank you. Really, from the bottom of my heart for helping me and make this thing or make the awards get to the point where they have been able to be handed off to a new entity and to take the awards to the next level, really. And I'll still have a role, I would assume a minor role. Be doing some consulting and also probably appearing at the 10th annual awards ceremony. It's going to be a great event, and I'm sure Rick and his teams are going to be doing great things with it. But here's the main thing. I don't have to worry about raising money to pay for trophies. I don't have to be beat up by podcasters because every year I would get hate mail like you just do not even want to know. And because no one's ever happy with the results or with how the process is done. And, you know, it is what it is. But there were thousands, again, of the positive emails as well. But the main thing is it's now Rick and his team to make things happen. And I'm excited with what they're going to do and the resources they're going to be able to put forward to it. But what that does is open up my schedule and allows me to continue to focus on the things that are important, taking care of podcasters at Raw Voice, taking care of this audience, doing the things that we do. And just one less thing on my schedule. And everything's always got cramped together at the end of the year, as you guys know. And you guys know that I stopped doing the full 24-hour podcast because it just killed me. I think I just got the point where it probably was not as, it wasn't as fun to do it as it was before. So what I may do, and something that I'm thinking about, is doing some sort of 12-hour type of program, more educational than interview after interview of interview. So I'm still kind of contemplating that. I'm under no pressure to do anything, really, but continue to build this audience and this show and the rest of the shows on the network, of course, with, you know, and I'm remiss in talking about Robot Underpants and The Elder Divide and The Gadget Professor, the new media show, Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis. All those shows are part of the family here that I need to help grow and get bigger. And I hope that you guys will be subscribed to all those shows on the network and provide those hosts as much feedback as you provide me, because we want to bring you great, wholesome family content that you guys love to listen to. So anyway, I've talked enough on this stuff. That's what's happened with the Podcast Awards, and it's gone. And we're moving forward. I think that's the most important thing here. And my new computer arrives tomorrow from Dell. FedEx is going to actually hold it at the FedEx facility, and I'm going to pick it up in town when I go pick up my kids. And so this weekend, I'll probably be moving a computer over and doing the things you do when you do that. But other than that, it's going to be a great weekend. It's kind of funny. The new media show is going to actually, part of it's going to be interviewing me over the Podcast Awards. So it's going to be kind of a weird show. I'm the actual guest of the show, but I'm going to be the one that's going to be being asked questions. So anyway, talking about the history of the event, and I got a little homework to do tomorrow to kind of prep for that interview and basically dig stuff out of the archives. So anyway, that's it. And plus we have a few resources, a little additional cash flow that's going to help the show out as well. Haven't decided, not going to just go off and go hog crazy and spend a bunch of money, but there is some things I'd like to do, but I'm going to be very, very careful in doing any type of major expenditures here at the studio. It's where the studio's good, doesn't need to be I'm like a kid in a candy store. I really am. I have a hard time controlling myself. You know, the dream's always been to replace what's behind me, but that's such a huge storage area for me. You know, we went through the whole process of going to order cabinets, and we canceled, and then thought maybe I'll put a flat screen TV back there, and just trying to figure out quite what to do, and maybe we'll just continue to leave well enough alone at this point, because I don't know what I would do with all the stuff that's in there. This room's already filled to the gills. You guys have seen the tour in here before, but that it is. It's just we'll continue to move forward with the show and get into the tech. That's that's probably the most important thing. Hey, we want to definitely remind you guys that we want you to become part of the GNC 1000. Be an insider. Be part of our support group. You can go to geeknewscentral.com/insider. You can support the show financially. We really appreciate anyone, all of you that are coming in and contributing to the show. I'll have talk about some of our donors at the end of the show tonight, along with any email that we've got. But I do want to thank each and every one of you for your ongoing support that way. And if you get enough value out of the show, and tonight's show, holy smokes, just settle in. Settle in now, because I'm not kidding you. The stack that I have tonight is pretty doggone good. And I was telling my wife and son at dinner, I said, the show tonight's going to be really good. And for a number of reasons. And I want to start right off by the iOS 8 update, of course, kicked off last night. So I have three devices, two iPads and a iPhone 5. One of the iPads is primarily the kids use, and mine that I have with me pretty much around the clock. Of course, my iPhone. So I updated all three. You know, two of the updates went flawlessly. The other one, the one iPad that I used the most, it had to restore. So there was a little drama there about midnight last night as I was finishing the updates. But otherwise, everything went up pretty good. I'm not seeing physically a lot of change from a usability standpoint. So, you know, for me, it's kind of like, yeah, it's an upgrade, right? And it's all more about the phones and I think than the actual operating system this time. But we will be talking about some of that stuff, and I'm going to provide a bunch of links for you tonight. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I'm providing you links to some keyboards and some other tools that you can use with iOS 8. But probably the most important news that's been brewing and building over the last couple of days is talking about Tim Cook making talking about privacy. And they have made it abundantly clear that they don't want anyone snooping around on her device, and not even law enforcement. The company said yesterday that its latest software system, iOS 8, included deep protection of the information stored on Apple mobile devices. So deep, in fact, that Apple says it has become technically impossible for Apple to comply with government warrants asking for customer information like photos, email, messages, contacts, call history, and notes to be extracted from the device. Now, here's a gotcha. If you're using iCloud, that's still susceptible to a warrant. The company said all this information was under the protection of a customer's passcode, the four-digit number used to log in to the device. In the past, Apple was able to extract certain types of information from devices even when they were locked with a passcode in response to a valid search warrant. The new security in iOS 8 protects information stored on the devices itself, but not the data stored on Apple's cloud service. So Apple will still be able to hand over some customer information stored on iCloud in response to government requests. Now, Apple announced the revised privacy policy on its new privacy page at apple.com/privacy, which includes a letter written by Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're an Android user, if you're a BlackBerry user, Windows Phone user. This has got to set all of us up in our seats just a little bit. From my perspective, these new privacy settings are the number one improvement to the phone. Now, let's just be straight, though. If law enforcement goes to Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, whoever they go to and said, we want to put a wiretap on this phone, that's still through the mobile carrier. You're still probably a sitting duck if they do that. But the data in your phone is protected so long as someone cannot guess your four-digit passcode or if you give it up. But I think it's important also to read into what they've said in their privacy statement on exactly what stuff is secured. We don't know if everything is or just the stuff that they said in this email. Now, what happens if you are using Gmail for email? Well, they'll just go to Google and get the email from them. Will they go to, if you're using Mac.com or using Apple's email service, will they still be able to get this? They don't say they can, but some of that stuff is still going to sit on a server somewhere. So I think we have to also weigh, you know, the potential there and what could be accessed and what cannot. The ACLU is like, wow, this is huge. The public has said they want companies to put their privacy first, and Apple has listened. And Google, I mean, Apple has been like, bam, bam, bam. This is not what Google does, but this is what Apple does. So they emphasize that Apple is unlike any other internet company that benefits. He says in his letter, Mr. Cook emphasized Apple was unlike other internet companies that benefit from collecting customer data and sharing it with third parties like advertiser. Our business model is very straightforward, and we've talked about this on the last show. We sell great products, he said. We don't build a profile based on your email content or your web browsing habits to sell to advertisers. Makes me have to think about the purchase I just made. You know, I think we all realize that we're giving up a lot of privacy no matter what we do on the internet today. And I talked about this with some guys today that I ran into talking about the health data. And I've, you know, talked about I'm not wearing my Fitbit right now, largely because of, you know, privacy concerns. And not that I don't miss getting tracking data on what I've done, but at the same time, I don't know if I want that data sitting in someone's data center. So this is a step in the right direction. I'm sure the feds are freaking out because the 99.99% of people who are legal, law-abiding citizens that pay their taxes and are not getting into any issues where they're going to run into a situation where they may have a warrant placed upon them or, you know, a search and seizure type of thing. But that 0.01 or whatever that percentage is of true criminals, you can almost be guaranteed that the criminals are all going to have an iPhone at this point. Specifically the data. And you just remember, it's you talk and you text and it's probably going to go through AT&T or Verizon. But if you use the data stuff, some of the apps and stuff, that's a whole different story there. So we'll see where this leads. And this could lead to legislation. If legislation is put forth, you know, they may have to reverse course on a future update. So I'm sure they're going to fight this. But I think this is big. And if you're an Android user, you have to go, and scratch your chin just a little bit, don't you? Am I wrong on this? Do you feel that Apple's taking a better approach than maybe what Google has? I think it's pretty obvious at this point, in my opinion, they have. So love to hear your guys' feedback. GeekNews@gmail.com is a place to send your comments. And let me know if you're an Android user, does this give you pause to think about switching? That's the question that I want to know. Or that's the answer I want to know. Do you want to switch? Is this enough to make you move, or you're like, yeah, Todd, who cares? You know, forget it. I'm not leaving Android. No way, no how. But it is being reported the next version of Android will have a higher level encryption. So maybe Google is listening and they're gonna start putting some of this stuff in place. How much? Who knows? But the Google ecosystem is everything's in the cloud. You know, Google Drive, Google Docs. Gmail, all this stuff that we all use as geeks, you know, that's all, you know, Uncle Sam comes with a piece of paper and said, let me see what this gentleman has in his data. You know, they're going to give you up. So very curious. But I bet you a lot more crooks are going to be definitely using the iOS 8 and the iPhone. I saw today an incredible video. And all right, all of us have cameras. All of us have probably video cameras. And how many of you have not used your video camera that you have in a bag somewhere in recently? You know, I've got video cameras all over the place. 1, 2, 3, right here in front of me. They stay attached to the system. They don't ever get unhooked. I got one up here in the corner that's looking down at me, you know, and you know, it's up there overseeing. I don't switch it on very often, just like now. Turn it on. But many of you may still put a camera on a tripod and wander around with it. Do something at sports or whatever. But how many of you are using your phone the most time to do video? I would assume the majority of you are using your phones. Well, what intrigued me the most probably about the iPhone 6 update is the iPhone 6 Plus, the camera, and being able to do slow motion, a whole bunch of stuff that they've put in that new camera. And a guy in, where was he at? He was, oh my goodness, he was in Greenland, I think. Iceland, excuse me, Greenland, Iceland. He's in Iceland, and he took an incredible video with an iPhone 6 Plus. And when you see this, I don't care if you're a Droid user or a diehard iPhone fan, you're going to be, I'm thinking to myself, that is what that phone did. Now, it has a certain amount of utility. But this guy did a really awesome job. If there's anything you watch after the show tonight or today, whenever you listen, watch or listen, I want you to go in the show notes and look for this link for the iPhone 6 Plus camera review and watch this video. If you are not wowed, if it doesn't sit you back and go, wow, sorry, something's quite wrong with you. And some of you Android users might, meh, whatever. Definitely check the video out. I sit here and I sent this link to my wife. I'm like, you still have your Samsung Galaxy S5? And she was quite impressed because she's the picture and video taker here in the house. So anyway, that's just a couple of articles to start off with tonight. That's kind of how the lineup goes. So we're going to have fun tonight from a time perspective. We're not going to make it. But one question that I've always had in the back of my mind, and this, we're going to really flip the cog here a little bit, is we're going to talk about the science of the Big Bang. And, you know, many of us are like, what caused the Big Bang? How did that really happen? This moment in time when, you know, just all these things came together and then now the universe is expanding into who knows what, maybe someone else's backyard. But the question has been asked by scientists, are we here because of a black hole? Maybe not the universe per se, but this planet and our sun. Where we kicked out the other side of a black hole at some point, and basically, all the dust and dirt and everything else. And I know that there's some of you that are, you know, have the, there's, you know, the religious part and all that stuff. So just, you know, but it's a little bit to think about here. Are we all here because of a black hole? You know, we typically think of black holes as death pits, which nothing can really escape. But recent studies suggest that black holes play a pivotal role in creating stars and could have one created our sun. So that's kind of an interesting moment. But I'll have a link up that in the show notes for you to check that out and get the full read on. Oh, I do have to say something about Waz. You know, Waz has been using the Android phone for a while. Well, I guess TMZ ran into him. And those guys are all over the place causing all kinds of hate and discontent, aren't they? But Waz allowed himself to be stopped in an airport, at least temporarily, to share his excitement for the Apple new iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus. And he says, "I got rid of all my Androids," Waz said to the off-camera reporter. In praise of the bigger screens on the two new iPhones, the iPhone 6 sports the 4, you know, goes in. He says, "This is a big deal." And he thinks the Apple Pay is like the real dealio here. So kind of interesting to see Waz back on the iPhone path. So I wonder if they sent him two new phones. Just, you know, you would think so, right? He should get like one of every product that comes out. That should just be like a ship Waz's computer. You know, I just can't imagine that he doesn't. I think if I was in his position, I'd be want. Of course, he can afford to buy whatever he wants, right? So the iOS 8 adoption is going pretty quick. In less than a day, already 14% of iPhone users have updated. As of 6 a.m. Thursday, iOS 8 showed an adoption rate of 14.22% on the mobile analytics firm Chart. As a mobile operating system launch at 10 a.m. Pacific Wednesday, Mixed Panel showed a 0.53% adoption rate, which likely included the beta versions that already been in the hands of the developers. A 14% adoption rate is in less than 24 hours sounds impressive, but it pales in comparison to iOS 7 launch a year ago, where they had about 38% in the first day. So a little slower adoption rate, and I can kind of understand why the changes aren't as big. And sometimes, you know, people are being a little more cautious on their updates, and maybe they're just waiting for their new phones. I think that probably is a big part of it too as well. Okay, enough on iOS 8 at this point, but I do want to talk about something more phone related, and this is something that should make all of you just kind of go, just a little bit. Phone cell towers are the next big security risk. In China, signal hijacks have become an epidemic. And they're saying is the rest of the world next. Last month, Mr. Li in Shuang Mr. Li in Shenyang, Mr. Li in Shenyang, China, received a text from his bank's customer service number, notifying that his credit card had accumulated reward points and telling him how to cash them in. When he followed the link and logged in, the site went dead. An hour later, he noticed more than $650 missing from his account. Only then did he realize that he'd been scammed. The text had come from his bank's number, but it didn't come from his bank. Instead, it came from a fake cell tower, a racket that's reaching epidemic levels in China. Scammers use a device called a base station to set up a fake signal coming from a local house or shop. As long as the strongest signal available, phones will connect automatically. The phony tower can't reach the larger network, so if you try to place a call or visit a website, you'll come up empty. But unless you're actively using your phone, you'd never know the difference. From there, scammers can send texts from any number they want. In cases like Mr. Li, that turns out to be a very lucrative trick. So QU360, which is China's largest mobile security firm, has caught more than 1.2 billion messages from fake cell towers between April and June of this year, more than 13 million a day. They figured that this figure only includes messages caught by the company's app, so it's likely the total number is even higher. So apparently it's very lucrative to have a tower device right now. People pay big money for it. We predict that this year and next year will be the worst time for us. So this is, wow. Dudes are like putting up fake towers. This is crazy. Roughly half the messages were simple advertising sent from fake cell stations so as to dodge mass texting fees. Oh, that's interesting. They figured a third of the messages as promoting illegal services and 15% as outright fraud. The messages can appear as fake invoices, credit card statements, or phone bills from the carrier themselves. In each case, the message comes from the bank or phone company's official customer service number, giving targets no reason to doubt that the message is real. This is a basic vulnerability in the GSM or 2G phone network, established in the mid-80s before the rise of 3G and 4G. Each tower checks each connected phone is legitimate, but there's no system to authenticate the towers themselves. Fake base station can cost as little as $700. Now, will this roll into the United States? I don't know. But if it does, you can almost be guaranteed that the FCC, if they catch you, you are probably going to not like the end result. But some of the United States are, some U.S. government trying to do, or basically are worried about this. In July, Congressman Alan Grayson sent the FCC a formal inquiry about the problem, and the agency has since formed a task force to investigate the issue. Still, securing the network may be a little harder than it sounds. Modern 3G and 4G networks are immune to the attack thanks to two-way authentication, but it will be years before the U.S. can abandon the vulnerable GSM or 2G networks entirely, and doing so means upgrading thousands of towers across the country. AT&T is trying to abandon GSM by 2017. So pay attention to even the texts you get on your phone. A little harder, a lot more banks in the United States. They'd have to really know who I banked with, and that had to be super, super targeted. Should be no surprise that a study found that cities with super fast internet speeds are more productive. Well, how much more productive? Well, not too much, about 1%. Cities with gigabit connections reported a 1.1% higher per capita GDP than their slower counterparts. Now, they go on to say this may not sound like much, but consider that the per capita GDP in the United States has been growing at a pace of 1 or 2% a year since the recession, according to the World Bank. If you add it up, that amounts to about $1.4 billion in extra growth for those specific studies. The findings are consistent with predictions from economists that internet access will enhance U.S. productivity. I think we all know that. I think we all, you've been on your mobile device, or you've been tethering your laptop or a tablet, and you get somewhere and the internet is slow, and you just get pissed because you're wasting time. You're waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally maybe something will load or the email will send, and it's just for me, and because I spend a lot of time tethered or on my MiFi, it drives me bat beep crazy. I mean, it just drives me nuts. So the higher the speed, the higher the productivity, because we can move on. Get done what we want to get done and move on. You know, so what I was doing today, and this is just to tell you how my day went, I knew I was going to be in town later and we'd be getting back to the house later than normal. So what I did was I used Feedly to do all the show prep. So Feedly had all the articles that I was basically going to talk about tonight, pretty much and they hadn't been reviewed. They just been like, I'd tag the ones that I wanted to investigate. So what I did is I used Go to My PC. I logged into my computer at home. I loaded Chrome. I went to the Feedly site and I started loading all the tabs on the website. Now, what happens here is because I load so many tabs on this current PC that it gets a little bogged down about 30 tabs in. And what I have to do is I normally get the tabs loaded and then I have to close. I have it so it saves the tabs and what, you know, the settings I'm currently in. I close Chrome. I wait a couple minutes, wait for the memory cache to go down. Then I relaunch it. And then Chrome seems to be fine. It's something about the way it allocates, you know, the in its cores or however it does. And then the computer performance stays good. So really what I was doing was I knew I was going to get to the house a little late. I know that this process that I do to get all the articles up and ready to start reviewing takes about 10 minutes. So, you know, my wife's driving. I'm in the car using GoToMeeting, logged into the computer here at the house, you know, launching the browser windows, getting everything set up. But when I got home, I sit right down here and boom, 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 went through and we started the show on time tonight. So, but there was a few moments when I was using GoToMyPC in the car that I was like, you know, I'm cussing at it because the internet was slow. I'm waiting. And finally the page updates. You know, if the speed was high for all of us, no matter if it was mobile or connected, we just get so much more done all the time. I'm jumping all over the place tonight, largely because I try to organize stuff the best I can. But there's a good article over at dailytech.com, and I don't think I've been over the site before. If I have, it's been a while. So, big media decries the supposed evils of VPNs. You know, many folks that are expats, if you live in Australia, if you live in Hong Kong, you live in Japan, you live, you know, let's say you live in Europe, many of the expats want to be able to use a VPN to be able to get access to Netflix and, you know, all the stuff that you have to usually be in the United States to access. And even there's a lot of Australians that are coming in and subscribing to Netflix via VPN so that they get all the movies, right? Well, we already know that there's a lot of pressure on Netflix to shut this down. Already Hulu, which is a service mostly owned by News Corp and Comcast and the Walt Disney Corporation, have shut down or banned VPN traffic from all known major VPNs. Netflix is the last company to not ban VPNs, but that could soon change. Their discussions are being had with Netflix to try to shut this down. They do not want Australians or anyone else coming into the Netflix store via VPN and getting access to the media here. So there's incredible pressure by Netflix to shut this down, to not allow VPNs to connect. So I think we all have to, if you're watching this show, obviously we don't have any distribution concerns, but if you are logging into a Netflix account and getting Netflix movies via VPN, this should be of some concern to you, and you should definitely support Netflix in keeping those VPN paths open. Otherwise, they're going to lock you out. Now, what's really happening here is, like down in Australia, the local content providers in Australia who have to buy all this programming and bring it in usually a year later, they're worried about their revenue, because if you're watching the stuff already, why would you need to get it from the Australian broadcast folks? You wouldn't. So this is some of the challenges going on with VPNs right now. But businesses rely on VPNs to extend their normal infrastructure across the country. And the MPAA and RAA wanting to shut this down is going to make people upset. People are going to find a way to work around. I could see a lot of VPNs popping up all over the place just to try to take it to the man, and in private VPNs as well. Interesting commentary by the FCC chairman. Last week, we talked about AT&T and Verizon urging the FCC to abandon a proposal that would redefine broadband download speeds from 4 megs to 10 megs. If the standards is raised, ISPs that accept government subsidies to build networks in hard-to-reach rural areas would have to provide higher speed. AT&T and Verizon argued that 4 megs is good enough. But Chairman Wheeler today said otherwise at a hearing in front of the U.S. House Committee on Small Businesses. His response goes as this: we have proposed increasing the throughput in order to get the Universal Service Fund from 4 megs to 10 megs for precisely the reason that you mentioned. They were basically talking about this, that you can have a, that you can't have a digital divide when 60% of the internet traffic at prime time is video and it takes 4 or 5 megs to deliver video. A 4 meg connection isn't exactly what's necessary in the 21st century. And when you have a half dozen different devices, wireless and other connected devices in a home that are all going against the bandwidth, it's not enough. What we're saying is that we can't make the mistake of spending the people's money, which is what the Universal Service Fund is, to continue to subsidize something that's subpar. Wheeler said he hopes to have that issue tidied up by the end of the year. Now, of course, the money in question, again, comes from the Connect America Fund, paid for by phone customers through bill surcharges. AT&T and Verizon declined a combined $67.5 million of the funding in 2012. But AT&T changed its mind in 2013 and decided to accept $100 million after the FCC made some changes to the program. AT&T said the money would let it develop broadband to approximately 129,000 locations that lacked any fixed broadband service of at least 760 kilobits down to 200 kilobits up. That's my mom. By accepting the funding, AT&T had to provide at least 4 megs downstream and 1 meg upstream to customers who previously had no access to broadband services. AT&T was required to deploy service to 2/3 of locations within 2 years and all of them within 3. This new 10 meg would require basically AT&T, if they wanted that money, to deploy 10 meg down service. So we'll see what happens here. But I think they're going to go out and make this happen. Time will tell. In an interesting development that's happening overseas, and it's actually being driven by Hollywood, Hollywood workers demand Peter Sunday's dignity and freedom. Led by director Lexi Alexander, a collection of Hollywood directors, producers, actors, writers, and other workers have teamed up in support of Peter Sunday. As the jailed former Pirate Bay founder prepares for his father's funeral, the insiders call for his uncuffing. They say, "We oppose imprisonment," and this was in a video they put out. Now, we know that Peter Sunday's been in jail since May of 2014. He's been held in isolation despite not being accused of nonviolent crimes. He's in a high-security unit, and people are worried that his health is going down. But actually, some Hollywood folks are basically saying, "Hey, let him go," which is kind of a interesting move. And a lot of it was delivered by these folks in Hollywood that want him to be released and allowed to attend to his father's funeral and so forth. But authorities there, I believe in the Netherlands, are saying he will attend the funeral in handcuffs. He's lucky he's going to be able to get to go to the funeral at all. Most criminals in the United States or people that have been put in jail do not get those types of, get to go see go to a funeral, family member's funeral. Over at space.com, there's jaw-dropping Aurora View, which won the 2014 Astronomy Photo Contest. When you see this, you're going to like, is that really a picture? So I have the link up in the show notes on that. Another article over on space.com talks about SpaceX Dragon to launch Space Mice 3D printer and more for NASA. So their fourth orbital load is due to be sent to the International Space Station on September 20th. I do want to say congratulations to Boeing and SpaceX, who each got, I think Boeing got $4 billion, and I think SpaceX got $1.5 or $2 billion for taking future astronauts to the International Space Station. So they did get awarded some money. So congratulations to both of them. So we'll see how they execute that. And of course, if you want to watch a launch, you can watch the launch this coming Saturday. Another article about Google tracking your every move. And there's a website now to prove it. I have that link up in the show notes. I think people are getting more aware of what Google is tracking as you have location services turned on your phone as you're walking around. At the same time, Google's also has put together a patent. It's called active watching. It aims to track and identify everyone in the room. So if you're an Android user who's grown to love their voice command, you could be in for a treat. Google's been working on some crazy improvements. Recent updates have already improved how voice search works with Google Now, tightly integrated voice commands with Android Wear, and an added always listening OK Google voice command to all search screens is in work. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to, this patent is basically supposed to recognize only you, which is kind of an interesting move. But they also want to identify other people in the room and be able to tag them as well. So again, tracking data on you, your social networking activities, your profession, your user preferences, all that stuff. So, but it is an interesting move here. What Google is going to do that, and actually, it may be even trying to read people's lips with a camera as well. So, kind of some scary stuff here. But I'll have the link up in the show notes if you're an Android user, you want to check that out. That was over at fandroid.com. Nexus 9 released on October 16th. The Nexus 6 could also fall on the same day. So, be aware of that. Do we have any pre-release pricing? No, we do not. Keep you advised on that. Electronic Frontier Foundation has posted a pretty cool chart. It says, who has your back? And it basically talks about the information each company does. So, for example, Adobe requires a warrant for content, tells users about government data requests. They do not publish a transparency report. They do publish law enforcement guidelines, but they don't fight for users' privacy in courts, and they do not fight for users' privacy rights in Congress. As compared to Apple, who's on the list, that does all of those things, including Credo, Dropbox, Facebook, Google, supposedly. Or you can just go down through this list, and a lot of the companies that you're used to, you can see where they fall out. And kind of interesting, AT&T does not require a warrant for content. It doesn't tell users about government data requests. Comcast is the same way. Who's another guilty one on this? Well, it's the Scribble folks. There's very little that they do from a privacy standpoint. But anyway, the stack is there. You can go through it. I have a link up in the show notes for you to definitely check out and see what people are doing in response to government inquiries and so forth. This is kind of a media type of a story, but Via Media is basically complaining. They're saying, hey, the FCC should not approve the Comcast-Time Warner merger because it would adversely affect the spot cable marketing, basically advertising, unless the FCC put conditions on it. Basically say this group will control too much of the spot advertising, spot cable advertising space. Of course, cable advertising is just a small part of the local advertising marketplace, but you know, these folks are, you know, Via Media is worried about the combined company would have a control 71% of what they call the spot cable market. So, yep, they control it. They can ask more money. That's what that's all about. When I first saw the title of this article, it said, experts say we can reduce fossil fuel use by 80% with existing technology. I thought it was going to be led to a green site. But instead, it's an article over on Forbes. So when I actually got to this in the stack and was looking through this, this has got some big, big words here. And some I actually had to go and Google some of these. You know, the military is real famous for like using words like PCS, TAD, TDY, FCF, RFI, and NRFI, all these little terms that someone that's in the military, they work maybe in the aviation stand front, they know what these words mean. But when I start seeing stuff in here that's like IRR and RMI and a whole bunch of, you know, of these types of energy-related words, I had to go start doing some Googling to look them up. But this is a really good article talking about just about being more efficient and things that we can do to basically not burn so many fossil fuels. And it starts at the top and all the way to the bottom. So a pretty good article. I'll have a link up for you to review yourself as well. Now, Amazon's doing something cool. They're going to be heating a skyscraper with a data center that they have. So this is the first of its kind system. Amazon will use waste heat from a data center to provide much of the heat in its high-rise campuses under construction in downtown Seattle. Once it's implemented, Amazon will save 3/4 of electricity it had brought for heat otherwise, according to a Seattle Construction and Energy Services company. So this is kind of cool. This idea really makes a lot of sense. They're, you know, and maybe they don't need to heat it in the summertime, but it definitely in the winter, in the cold months, they can use that heat from the data center to warm the building up. So very, very, very cool. And, you know, we know that data centers just, man, they are a heat machine. So this is pretty cool. So the Amazon building is right across from the data network. So they say the data center operations generate enough energy to heat the entire Amazon campus. It's going to be in a loop. Water cools down, it's sent back to the data center, and as it's heated up, it comes and basically does use standard heat exchangers. So cool stuff. Bono of U2 says he's working with Apple on a new music format to fight piracy. So everyone got Bono and U2's new song on their iPhone. They did, and it didn't even you remove it. I actually couldn't find it on my iPhone, so I don't think I got it. But he basically said that he's been working with Apple on a new audio format that'll get people paying for music once again. In an interview in Time Magazine, which won't be published until September, it said that the band has been working a secret project that's so terribly exciting to music fans, it will tempt them again into buying music. So, okay, what are they doing? And we'll have to see what they've got cooking here. But I don't know. Free is free, and people love free. Ride-sharing apps may have caused taxi use in San Francisco to drop 65%. Great, get those taxis off the street. that's a serious disruptor. It really, really is. Another great article on ArsTechnica.com talking about Verizon, who we all know is the enemy of the open internet rules. They're out right now doing this big press junket saying, hey, it loves the open internet. You know, they like talk out of both sides of their mouth, don't they? And, oh, yeah, we really like open internet. And then at the same time, they file court rulings and stuff to try to undo some of the agreements they made. You know, Verizon spent money to press its case with lawmakers on the open internet. An analyst by San Francisco-based data firm Quid found that Verizon spent $100 million to lobby Congress on net neutrality since 2009. We're about openness. We want open internet rules, yet they spent $100 million to lobby Congress on net neutrality. And you know what they want, right? They want to become a troll more than they already are. So this is a pretty comical that Verizon is trying to have this public persona. Oh, we're open. And then at the same time, sending legal stuff saying, no, we don't. No, we're not. Have you heard about the Wakie app, W-A-K-I-E? Well, you may want to try it because they will call you and wake you up with a real person from somewhere in the world. And you can talk to someone for about a minute every morning when you wake up, someone different every morning. Link will be in the show notes. You can check that out. I thought that was kind of a cool little app. I don't want to talk to anybody in the morning. I want my coffee and I want to be left alone. Facebook is acknowledging that its news feeds are bad at news, and they're going to try to improve it. Good luck on that. Just get all that crap out of there. Let me see my friends and people that I'm friended with. I don't want to see the other junk in there. Just that's how you fix it there, Facebook. And forcing me to use the Messenger app, hate it is not too small of a word. To mock Yelp, a restaurant, do you think this is wise, folks? To mock Yelp, a restaurant has asked all of its customers to do absolutely awful reviews. They want them to write the most gross reviews they can on Yelp about the restaurant. They want to have the worst review rank of any restaurant in the city. And apparently this place is pretty doggone good. I guess they're really sick of some of the tactics the Yelp folks are doing. So kind of an interesting tactic. I don't know if I'm a business owner, if I would do that or not. But it is an interesting, I guess, for better words, PR stunt. We'll see if it ends up backfiring on them. All right. there's pretty incredible. Well, The Verge has what they're calling 8 damning emails from behind the scenes of the healthcare.gov meltdown. And I read some of these and I was like, whoa. You go through those, you can see why they had so many problems. And they're just very short. Take you 10 minutes to get through the article. Link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. Antarctica is nearing record sea ice. And of course, the Arctic ice is shrinking. The southern hemisphere's unrelenting winds and frigid air froze ocean water into 7.6 million square miles, 19.7 million square kilometers of Antarctic sea ice this southern winter, the National Snow and Ice Data Center said. So once again, we have global warming that is melting all the ice. But sea ice extent is a total ocean area which the ice concentration at least 15% as measured by satellite. Now we know that the Antarctic has been losing some ice, so I'm saying that in jest. But link will be up. You guys want to check that out? So Google, as I said earlier, Google is making encryption standard in the next version of Android. Won't go any further than that. Also on the International Space Station, an analyst of a 41 billion cosmic ray striking the Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer Particle Detector aboard the International Space Station, boy, try saying that 5 times in a row, shows an unknown phenomena that is consistent with dark matter particle, known as the neutralino, researchers announced Thursday. Key to the hunt is the radio positrons to electrons, ratio of positrons to electrons. And so far, the evidence from the AMS points in the direction of dark matter. So this is kind of cool. They're pretty excited about this, as you can imagine. Dark matter is a big, big deal in the science front. All right, if you have Glass, the My Glass iOS app can now sync photos. Woohoo! That's awesome. So be aware of that if you have Glass. Also, there's a good article in the Register talking about copyright thieves having cyber lockers that are basically just cash machines. And it's mostly these cyber lockers that are pretty notorious for finding stuff like movies and software. Mega, RapidGator, deposit files, and streaming lockers like MoveShare.net, FlashX.tv, StreamCloud.eu are making as much as $3.2 to $17 million a year just on advertising alone, not to mention premium subscriptions, which drive the earnings a lot higher. So this is pretty amazing considering that most of the site's revenue is 70% on subscription basis, but they are talking about the big business of copyright thieves and those that are getting away with it. Hey, Windows 9 build 9834 has been leaked. So if you want to take what's going on with the Windows 9, this is your chance to take a peek and see if you can see anything new. Of course, we know that Windows 9 is more or less 3 weeks. This particular build of Windows 9 is more or less 3 to 4 weeks in age. And it does depict the brand new start menu, which is kind of cool. So that's a nice little eyeball candy there for you. And it'll give you a chance to take a quick peek at maybe what's coming with Windows 9. iDrive delivers 2 terabyte of cloud storage, undercuts iCloud and Dropbox. So definitely check out iDrive. They've definitely been very aggressive in their pricing. So aware of that. Okay, so I'm just going to go through these real quick. I'm not going to actually talk in depth about them, but I want to put up a series of articles that's going to help you get the most out of iOS 8, really, if you've upgraded. So I've got an article here from fieldguide.gizmodo.com talking about 25 things you can do on iOS 8 that you couldn't do on iOS 7. The biggest one I like so far is the keyboard change. You can also see what's going on with your battery usage, amongst other things. So that link will be up in the show notes. Next thing, of course, is the iOS 8 keyboards themselves. I'm going to have a couple articles that are going to give you some options on what to download. Matter of fact, those iOS 8 keyboards are now at the very top of the actual download charts in the App Store right now. Also, there's some annoyances with iOS 8, and the folks give you some tips on how to avoid some of those annoyances. I have the link up in the show notes for you on that, of course, as well, which will come in the newsletter for those of you that are subscribed. So there's lots of keyboards, and what I want to hear from all of you that are using iOS 8 already, which keyboard did you pick? Did you stick with the one from Apple, or did you download Flesky, or did you get SwiftKey, or did you get Swipe? Which one did you pick? Definitely let me know. I'll probably be testing them all, but so far I'm still on the default one. Also, iOS 8 has widgets, and there's some instruction on how to use them. This is important because I was kind of like, oh, how do these things work? And I read through this. Now I got a handle on it. So if you want to know about how the widgets work, it'll be a link up in the show notes. Facebook is also trying to improve the app on iOS 8 on their update. So they're talking about some of the things that they're changing. So that will be up for you to review as well. Now, I was recently, my Montgomery GI Bill is, which I found out from a meeting I had with some VA reps, was that I could transfer my Montgomery GI Bill to post 9/11 GI Bill, which really what it does, instead of having 10 years to use the money that I earned as a serviceman and having retired, is that I now will have 15 years to use that those benefits. And when I was over, I stepped into my alma mater. Did I say that right? My alma mater. Emory-Riddle University, their field office, and said, hey, what do you guys got going on for master's programs? And the gal says, oh, we got a brand new one. We got a brand new master's degree program in UAVs. And I was like, really? And yeah, so it's, you know, I'm still a big aviation buff, folks. I am a big fan of aviation, and I said, let me look at the curriculum. So she busted out the pamphlet that they had and talks about their program and what the study curriculum is going to look like, and I was like, wow. And you know, so do I really need a master's degree in UAVs? Not necessarily, but I thought, this is pretty cool. Maybe that's a good insurance policy. If this podcasting thing ever drops, I've already got a degree in professional aeronautics from Emory-Riddle. And, you know, what's another $20,000? I can use my benefits and I can get my master's degree and I could have a master's degree, and it's, they've got a title for it. But if you have a son or daughter that is thinking about aviation, no matter what you think about drones or UAVs, there is going to be incredible, incredible, incredible career opportunities for anyone that has a focus in aviation with a minor or master's degree in what's going on in the UAV space. It's going to continue to grow. We're not going to see less UAVs. We're going to see more. We're going to see more drones. They're not only going to be in the military use, they're obviously going to be used at universities, by police departments, by, you know, Homeland Security. There's going to be a huge number of jobs in the UAV space. So today I saw on the news, basically on Gizmodo and a variety of other places, the Navy's newest Triton drone. Now, Triton is also commonly referred to as BAMS. This new Triton drone just flew its longest mission ever. And this thing, folks, gets up and, according to this press release, flies an altitude of 50,000 feet. That's well above commercial traffic. But the Triton flew down to a Naval Air Station Pax River. I was stationed in Pax River for 3 years from 90... What year was that? 94 to 97, just before we moved here to Hawaii. But anyway, when I was down in Pax River, you know, I got to see the Osprey come online. They were doing all the flight testing then of the Osprey and actually crashing a few. And of course, the Osprey is the V-22 tilt rotor aircraft. They got to see those being tested. And matter of fact, one of the coolest things I ever saw with the Osprey being tested is I saw the very first time they dropped a rope, basically a repelling rope, out the back of the Osprey. And they had to learn some stuff because they had all kinds of oscillations in the line. There was no way a Marine could have slid down that repelling rope without getting seriously injured. So they cut it away and they had to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to, you know, keep that rope from having that, and basically look like a big sine wave. But anyway, moving back to the story at hand, less than a half year after being greenlit, basically the programming coming online, the U.S. Navy's newest broad area marine surveillance platform, BAMS, the MQ-4C Triton, has passed a major development milestone. The Triton set down just before 8 a.m. yesterday at Naval Air Station Pax River in Maryland after completing its first cross-country flight. It left the Northrop Grumman Palmdale facility in California 11 hours prior and traveled some 3,290 nautical miles along the southern U.S. border, across the Gulf of Mexico and up the Atlantic seaboard at an altitude of 50,000 feet. This not only kept they call it a UAS, out of the way of civilian air traffic, but also gave NG crews the opportunity to shake down the platform over land. So, here's the thing. It's going to be a lot of careers. It's going to be a lifetime of work in the UAV drone stuff. But I still think a man in a seat, looking out a window or running a piece of gear, has less chance of being shot down by an enemy as it's flying off a coast somewhere than a UAV where there is no collateral damage. It can just be shot down at will. So we'll see what happens here. But the BAMS is supposed to enter the fleet in 2017. And I'm an OP3 guy. I'm not a super BAMS P8 fan, for those of you that even know what that means. But they're all in the news right now. All right, Larry Ellison has stepped aside as Oracle CEO. Former HP exec Mark Hurd has been promoted. It's big news. But Larry Ellison is a rich man. He owns one of the islands here in Hawaii. Yes, he owns the whole island. And but anyway, he has he's going to be the CTO now. Microsoft is going to close the Microsoft Research Lab in Silicon Valley. So today, Microsoft laid off a bunch of people there and a total of 2,100 jobs across the company worldwide. So another big whack of employees getting pink slips today at Microsoft as they downsize. Elon Musk is saying that self-driving Teslas are just 6 years away. I can't wait. I want, I told my wife, that's the car I want next. Not the current one that's like $65,000, but the next one that's going to be, I hope, more affordable. But they are beautiful vehicles. They really are. I just, every time I see one, I have to stop and just, I'm not a car guy, folks. I love cars, but I'm not just like this maniac and I have to know everything. But I've been spending a lot of time on Tesla's site. I wish selling a podcast award would have brought enough money to buy one. Nowhere close. But it would have been really cool if it had, because it would have been cool to walk in there with cash and said, yes, I'll take one of those, please. That's a move for the rich and famous. But us working stiffs, we have to just kind of look and drool. And if we have a friend that has one, hope we can drive and get a ride, right? How many of you have a Tesla? Any of you in this audience have a Tesla? If you do, go ahead. Make me feel, well, actually, I'm proud of you if you have one, because they're just, if you can afford it, fantastic. More power to you. I love it when people have success. All right, TwitPic is being acquired and apparently not shutting down next week. So that's interesting news. So we'll see where this leads, if they're going to have to do a name change or if they're going to fight Twitter. That's a big deal. All right, Alibaba raised $21.8 billion in an initial public offering. Wow. So this is big. Big. $21.8 billion. Hard, cold cash. So, wow. Alibaba's shareholders, Jack Ma, co-founder and chairman, his share value is $13.1 billion. Joseph Tsai, co-founder, $5.4 billion. Yahoo, search and tech company, who invested in $27.3 billion. And SoftBank, the Japanese telecom, $54.2 $2 billion is their value for their investment in Alibaba. This is big. It's going to be trading under the big board under the ticker symbol BABA at $68. May have to buy some of that, folks. Yes, indeed. Amazon.com bought .buy for $4.6 million. .tech sold for $6.8 million. So .tech sold to .tech LLC. This is big. This is pretty close to a record. I want a bunch of .tech domain names. So $6.7 million. Don't know what they're going to do here with that for sure. .vip sold for almost $3.1 million. $4.6 million for .buy to Amazon. Smart Amazon. Pebble owners, heads up, you can update to version 2.5, allowing your smartwatch to display emoji, play nice with iOS 8, and finally use its internal compass, so that's available. Also, if you're a Home Depot user, 56 million cars were impacted, so be expecting to have your cars be replaced if they haven't been already by one of the other hacks. YouTube has taken out their checkbook again. It's paying its stars to make videos. So YouTube is planning to invest millions in some of its biggest stars and deals intended to create high-quality content for the site. Hey, YouTube, come on. You can let's talk. But YouTube spent more than $100 million on a push to get video makers to create channels of programming for the site in an effort to make it more like TV. So that's kind of cool. I guess we can add some channels to it. I have to talk to the guys about that. And just a little bit of trivia here. Apple relied on its own network for the part of the iOS 8 upgrade. Little news out of NPR. 3.7 million comments later, here's where we stand with net neutrality. Only 1%, fewer than 1% were opposed to net neutrality in the comments. So 99% of the people supported continuation of net neutrality. So that's if they better listen to us. Also, if you're a Samsung fan, the Samsung Galaxy Note 4 is set for an October 17th launch. Pre-orders on Sprint, T-Mobile. I don't know if anyone else, but this is the much anticipated Galaxy Note 4. A very pretty device. And how many of you are going to upgrade to that? So what they're going to do here, the company said Thursday pre-orders on the Galaxy Note 4 will begin today, the same day Apple's launching iPhone 6. Are any of you standing in line right now, or did you stand in line at Apple Store to get a phone? To sweeten the pot, Samsung will offer a guaranteed total trade-in of $200 on working smartphones that are swapped for a Galaxy Note 4 pre-order. That means even if your old phone isn't deemed worth more than $50, you still get $200 to spend on Galaxy Note 4. The deal is available between Friday and October 16th. So Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, all are making this available. Are you getting the note? Let me know. All right, this is going to bring us to the end of the regular content tonight. Let me go ahead and open email. I did not do that before we started the show tonight. Naughty, naughty me. So where are we at on time? Oh, crap. We are like way long. I told you this is going to be a good show. Isn't this a good show? Lots of good stuff today. Are you still here? This is where you go over to geeknewscentral.com/insider and say, that was a great show, Todd. Set up your monthly donation. All right, let's go ahead and let's see. Today's date is, there was some emails that come in. Where are they at? Come on, load. How come naughty me? It's all right. It's doing my inbox and everything else. Oh, there was a, okay. I just won. So it came from Tim. Tim, I want to thank you, man. You're being diehard, dude, on sending me stuff on Facebook. So check this out. Now, Tim, you found this over on the Blaze. So I've been watching some of the Blaze stuff. And you either love or hate Glenn Beck. They've changed completely with their network stuff over there. But they've got a lot of amazing content. I'd love to have... I don't know how much that studio costs, but oh my goodness, beautiful. So, but here's the article. Coming soon, when a police officer points his radar gun at you, it could detect more than speeding. Wow, check this out. A Virginia-based company is developing a detection gun that can tell if a person in the vehicle is texting. According to the Virginian pilot, ComSonic is creating a device that picks up on the radio frequencies that come from a cell phone being used inside the car. The company's calibration service manager told the newspaper that text messages emit a different frequency than other cell phone activities. This would allow a device to determine if a driver were possibly sending a text behind the wheel. Huh. That's interesting. Now, in Virginia, you know, they're hardcore. They don't allow you to have a you know, what they call a fuzz buster, a radar detector in the car. So this device not only is going to check your speed, it's going to find out who in the vehicle might be texting. So that's kind of an interesting move. Of course, according to the Governor's Highway Safety Association, 44 states have banned texting while driving. And we know that the FCC's pointed out that texting while driving increases a crash risk by 23% compared to a situation where a driver's not distracted. You know, people are going to jail for killing people while texting. You know, going through intersections, rolling people up on hoods of cars. It's not pretty, folks. So please, 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 please keep those devices on hands-free and out of your hands, okay? All right, this is going to bring us to the end. Not bad, I guess, for everything that's going on. I want to hear your comments. Tonight's stuff, got a lot of great stuff tonight on the show. And, you know, just as a couple of reminders, some stuff that we talked about during tonight's show was the privacy bit with the new iOS 8 update. Love to hear your feedback on that. Also, make sure you check out that video with the iPhone 6 Plus camera review. And then there's a whole host of articles tonight that are really good. Everything from Waz talking about stuff to phony cell phone cameras, phony cell phone towers, to the EFF and protecting your data and who's actually reporting what, about the Wakey app, even stuff about dark matter. So lots of good stuff tonight's going to be in the show notes. 25 things you can do with your phone on iOS 8 that you couldn't do on iOS 7. You know, even details down to about the money that was raised by Alibaba. Lots of stuff tonight in the show. Go through those show notes carefully. Send me your feedback to geeknews@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. And when you send an email to the show, tell me who you are, where you're from, how long you've been listening to the show. Give me a little background. Tell me if you're married, single, if you got kids. I want to know about everyone in this audience. And the more you guys send me those little notes with your emails, that helps out a great deal. All right, hey, it's been fun. I've had a great time doing the show tonight with you, and I hope that you've got a lot out of the content. GeekNewsCentral.com/insider or take care of our sponsor at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. It's been my pleasure. We'll see you on Saturday for the new media show, or we'll be back here next Monday for a regular edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.